Welcome to Hammer Don.
Let's go.
The number one sports betting podcast that comes out of this office, because it's the only sports betting show that comes out of this office, live every Monday, Thursday, and Friday, right after the Pat McAfee Show, around 3:05 p.m., also released as a podcast later in the day. I am your host, Tone Diggs. I am joined by Gumpy in the studio. And as always, our NFL expert, former NFL GM, Mr. Michael Lombardi.
How we doing, guys?
Michael, I love the collared shirt today. It looks great.
I got to go out. I got to take my wife out. So, you know, I got to clean up a little bit. You know how that goes.
Hey, you look good. She's a lucky lady. Yeah, right. Michael, before we get into this week, I wanted to put up the graphic of our picks from week one. You went 2-1, a winning week. I was 4-2. Pat was 3-2, and Gumpy was 3-2. That sounds like a winning week coming out of this office and the show, even though some of the commenters on YouTube said I lost the money. I just don't know how that's possible. Michael, congratulations on a winning week one.
Thank you. You know, only bet as much as you're willing to win. And the reality of it is you can't make anybody happy. I wrote the Daily Coach today about one of the great stories. If you ever watched the chef's table, they had a chef table barbecue about Rodney Scott, about how when he was in high school, you know, he was told you're never going to be more than just working in this pit. And the guy has gone on to be a James Beard Award winning chef, and he's remarkable. But yet, of course, naturally, I post the article on Twitter on the Daily Coach, and somebody writes, anybody who eats meat's disgusting. Like, seriously, like, you can't make anybody happy. Like, I look at some of Springsteen's videos that I think are just incredible, and he has 12,000 thumbs down. Like, it's just, you know, I give up.
Listen, so don't worry about it. If the boss isn't going to please anybody, neither can we, Michael. And thank you. Check out the Daily Coach. Check out the GM Shuffle Pod. Check out the Lombardi Line on VSiN. Other than seeing Michael on here for all the best information. Gump, you had some for Michael?
Yeah, Mike, I saw your tweet about the holding this past weekend. Do you think that's going to carry on going forward with the refs?
I hope so. I mean, when I went through it, when I was watching the tapes of the game, it was obvious they were going to look the other way. They weren't like, oh my God, they're on it. Look, the game that was so obvious to me was the Eagle game, because the Eagles couldn't block Washington the whole game, and yet they never got called for holding. Usually when you can't block a team, you're going to get called for holding. You know, you're grabbing and pulling. And I know Washington had 8 sacks and all that, but there was more holding calls that they missed. So, yeah, I'm hoping that they're going to, you know, turn the cheek. Now, look, only 8 teams got called for it. 5 of them got called twice. So every team's going to get called for holding. I just hope it doesn't happen all in one weekend.
Yeah, you would think if and Mick, can we get the sidebar up here? You would think if you give up 8 sacks that you are going to at least get one holding call, and only have 8 teams, you said, call for holding. That seems very, very low.
Yeah, 5 of them had, 5 of them I think were called twice, and 3 of them just had one hold call. So, look, holding, I mean, Garrett Bowles made it through Monday night without getting a holding call. There might be a parade in Denver for that, because that guy can't play football without holding. So hats off to Mike Munchak for, you know, to really coaching him up and keeping the guy from holding. So it's great.
He's your guy. And I wanted to talk about overreactions from week one, Michael, because I feel like week two is an excellent opportunity to bet teams that just looked like fucking garbage in week one, because there's obviously going to be, the public is going to jump all over teams that looked bad in week one, and they're going to go against them. That's why, like, teams like the Giants I like this week, kind of against the Bears, and teams like the Colts who lost to the Jags, I kind of like taking teams like that this week. In other situations,
I'm with you on the Colts. I mean, I just talked about it on my podcast. The Colts, to me, they did not play poorly. Mm-hmm. They managed the game poorly. They didn't play poorly. They let Gardner Minshew face cover 2, Tampa, too much zone. They didn't mix it up. They moved the ball effectively. They had some moments where they didn't that cost them. They missed Doyle in the end zone for a touchdown, make a bad throw and an interception. But the Colts look like they have a good team, whereas Minnesota, when you watch the tape of the game, they did not look like a good team defensively. They look like they can run the ball offensively, but this receiving core is going to be a little bit thin because there's no one besides Thielen right now. maybe Justin Jefferson will step up, all that, you know. But the reality of it is they did not look like a great team. So the Colts only laying 3. And here's the thing about this game that's fun to look at when you see it, is the line hasn't moved out of 3. Stayed right there, and most of the money is coming in on Minnesota.
Yep.
So why isn't that line moving towards Minnesota? Why isn't it going down? Why isn't that line going to 2.5? Why isn't it coming off the main 3 number? Because they know there's going to be a ton of money late on Indianapolis.
Hey, yeah. Hey Mike, we've seen a lot of movement on the Rams-Eagles line as well.
Yeah.
What did you think about that? It's gone back and forth a lot already.
Another one of my plays this week on the pod. I love the Eagles. I don't think the Rams. I think anytime that Jared Goff goes against a good defensive front that'll pressure him and hit him in the mouth, I'm going to bet against the Rams. Right? I thought the Rams did everything they could against the Dallas team that probably didn't play their best, had a lot of injuries, and they were fortunate enough to keep that game from going overtime. And I was on the side of the Rams in that game from the beginning of the week. I thought it was a good play. But I like the Eagles. The Eagles' defensive front dominated. I mean, they held Washington 3.8 yards per attempt, per play. That's remarkable. How do you do that? So I thought the Eagles lost the game. Their defense played well. Their offense turned the ball over and made mistakes, you know, missed 55-yard field goal, interception. They did everything to lose the game. I think they'll come out and play really well. The other thing that I like about this game is the way Jim Schwartz plays defense. He plays with wide nines. And whenever you can set an edge against the Sean McVay defense from the outside in, then you take away a lot of what Goff needs, which is his boots, his nakeds, those easy throws. When you make Goff play quarterback under center in the pocket, you're going to get an advantage.
Yeah, and I also saw what's the Phillies running back's name? Miles Sanders. It looks like he'll be back this week. Lane Johnson seems like he's going to play, so that's good news for the Eagles. So, yeah, it's two situations right there where the Eagles, the Colts, where they looked the result was not good last week. But if you look at the numbers and if you look at how the betting public is and the line not moving and stuff like that, there are teams that you could bet this week and play off of that overreaction. Michael, do you see who just walked into the room?
I saw him. I thought there was music when he walks in.
What'd he say?
There should be your music should play when you walk in.
I know. I want like a Stone Cold Steve Austin. Push. They have to zoom out on the two shot here. I'm sitting next to old Gumpy, incredibly yoked looking Canadian fella who Foxy obviously body shamed upon seeing him. Michael Lombardi, how are we feeling about this weekend? I'm sorry I missed it. I just had to take a shit and a phone call. Are we dominating the weekend or what?
I like some of the games this weekend. You know, we just talked about the Colts. I like the Colts and lay the points. I like the Eagles in a pick'em game. That line has moved all different variations against the Rams. I also like the Niner game came out on, and when I make my picks on my podcast, I always go by the Circa $1 million bet thing, you know, that tournament. So they came out today, and the Niners are under 7. I don't know how the Jets can move the ball. I mean, Le'Veon Bell's hurt. Their offensive line. Of the teams that looked bad last week, that played bad, I want to bet against them. The Vikings were one of those teams. The Jets were one of those, too.
Oh, jeez. Thanks. You.
I told you earlier, I love the Colts this weekend because we've been talking about it. Like, if you – the public just jumps on all these teams that looked bad last week, and that Vegas doesn't. Vegas sets the lines based on public perception, and if the lines aren't moving, then you jump all over like a team like the Colts.
Jets gave up 404 to the Bills last week, and they're without more linebackers this week as well.
Oh, no!
And then add this to it, Gump, is that when you break it down, the Jets, when you watch it, I mean, Josh Allen averaged 6.6 per attempt, and he didn't make one throw down the field. He took a lot of nickel and dime throws. I think the other thing we have to consider, if we would have all just said last week, say, bet Tomlin, bet Belichick, bet Carroll, bet Andy Reid, bet Sean Payton, bet John Harbaugh, not only would we have won 6 games, we would have covered in all 6.
Oh.
So sometimes I think you got to take offensive coordinators against the coach too. Like I like Kyle Shanahan against Greg Williams. I think he gives him problems. I think you always have to look. I like Frank Wright against Mike Zimmer. He knows how to play him. Do you remember the championship game when Minnesota came back and played Philly? They got killed. Minnesota was playing at a high level. I'm always looking for when I can go back and see the matchups of the coach against the scheme. How does that fit? And that's why I like Schwartz against Sean McVay.
Well, then you have to like the Jets because the Jets president said that Adam Gase is a brilliant offensive mind.
But then I heard your show today where you had somebody on that basically gave us 27 reasons why Adam Gase is a bad coach. So, I mean, look, I think they're a bad team. I think the Jets are a bad team. I think the former general manager, Mike McKagan, I mean, he violated every rule of GM you could possibly do. This is not a talented team. They have, like I'm saying, they have no linebackers. I mean, where are they gonna score points? Jamison Crowder is their only playmaker. And yeah. Where are they going to make plays?
For the Niners, too, Mike. I mean, Kyler Murray has had the Niners' number since he came into the league. It wasn't really that big of a surprise last week.
Right, and he ran the ball, 14 carries for 90 yards. I mean, he was really good running it. And so the Jets, who's going to run the ball for the Jets? I mean, I love Frank Gore to death. I mean, there was no one nicer to my son at the 49ers than Frank Gore. He still texts my son to this day, talking to him, asking how he's doing. He's one of the greatest human beings of all time. I love Frank Gore. But he can't put the Jets on his back and carry them to anywhere. So I like the Niners, and the number didn't get over 7, which is fascinating, right? So there's 1,200 tickets on this game, and only 20% of the money is coming in on the Jets, and yet that line stayed below. So they think they're going to get more Jet money late.
Hey, why do you think you love sports gambling so much? Is it just because you're Italian?
No, because I don't bet. But here's why I like it. Because what I did for a living for 35 years was basically talk like this. Figure out the game, match up the game. How does the game break down? Who's in favor? Now, I've got to incorporate the lines in it in my head, which, I'm not saying I'm an expert on this, but that's all I've ever done is try to visualize how the game was going to go.
All right, Michael, let's go to tonight's game, place where you were a GM at, Cleveland, dog pond. Cleveland Browns, they were started at 7.5, it got down to 5.5, and now it's back. It's settled at 6.5. The Browns are the favorites against the Bengals tonight, another team that looked horrible last week. The Bengals, a lot of people liked what Joe Burrow did against a tough Chargers defense. What are your thoughts on tonight's game?
I like the Brownies. I'll lay the points. I thought the Browns I thought the Browns had moments of bad play last week. I didn't think they played as poorly as the score. You know, they turned the ball over early in the game, but they ran the ball effectively against a good Baltimore team. I think without Mike Daniels in the game tonight, without Geno Atkins in the game tonight, I think that's going to be problematic for the. I think that's going to be problematic for the Bengals playing run defense. I did not think Joe Burrow, look, it was his first game. God love him. He's going to be good. Let's give him some time. I think they're going to have to heat him up a little bit. They need to get Joe Mixon going. I'll take the Brownies. I think the Brownies will play good tonight.
Pat, do you want to?
Yeah, I got the Bengals +6.5, strictly because the Browns' back end is completely demolished, basically, in the secondary. They're out 3 guys already. And, I mean, granted, it could be a bounce-back game for this Browns team that is loaded. But this is just like the Titans game last week where you told me, well, I got the Broncos tonight or whatever to cover. And Steven Goskowski leaves 10 points on the board somehow. Nobody could have guessed. This is making me really question my Bengals +6.5 prediction that I felt very, very good about just, what, a minute and a half ago before you were on that entire run right there.
Yeah, I mean, and look, when you go through the week, and I do my power rankings, so give you some credit here on the picks. When I go through my power rankings, the worst ranked team based on numerical data were the Browns last week. Everything they did. The video wasn't as bad as their numbers, but their numbers were horrendous. Now, they're playing one of the best teams in football. Lamar Jackson, it's hard to contend with him. Look, can Joe Burrow do this? I think it's going to come down to whether Myles Garrett, they can pressure Joe Burrow. I think if Joe Burrow gets pressure, I don't think it matters who's in the back end.
Michael, what number did you get the Browns at?
6.5, I think the circa number was. That's what I had.
Okay.
So my number in my power rankings when I broke down this game, you know, I had this really as Cleveland, as Cincy really should have been. But my numbers are based on one game, and you can't go by that. You can't. There's not enough information.
No, me and Gumpy had an argument yesterday in here because I saw the Browns dip below 6, and I jumped on it just because it was good value. Not that I necessarily love the Browns, but anything less than 6 against the Bengals, I was going to take, especially since the Browns looked like dog shit last week, and that's my theme of this week, is taking teams that looked like dog shit last week.
And the other thing is, too, you got to be careful is taking a team that doesn't have a field goal kicker. The Browns cut their field goal kicker. Now he's on the Bengals, right? It's like Tennessee and the Tennessee game in Jacksonville. Like, if you want to take Tennessee and lay all those points, plus you know Gostkowski isn't making any kicks, God bless you. Go ahead and do it.
Gostkowski's going to make kicks. Gostkowski's going to make kicks. Don't you worry about it.
He didn't miss kicks last week, Pat. They looked like bad drives off the tee.
You're saying he shanked kicks last week. That's what you're saying. You didn't say he just missed kicks. You say, you know what was worried about me with that Gostkowski kick? Is the 47-yarder mile high, okay? Mile high, ball travels further. That thing was going like halfway up the upright through there. And I was like, oh, did Gostkowski maybe lose a little juice from the rehab he just had on surgery? And when you lose juice, it's not the same swing. So then you have to account for that. And that's why he could be off. But I think one more week of accounting for maybe not having as fast of his leg as he used to have. Steven Gostkowski's getting back on track, but he's going against the buzzsaw of the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm staying away from that game for sure.
All right, before we move on, so Mike and I are both on the Browns. You're on the Bengals. Yeah. Gumpy, I think you're on the Bengals as well.
Yeah, Bengals are 9-2 against the spread last 11 meetings and 5-1 against the spread their last six in Cleveland.
All right, Michael.
Fuck me. I do not like that he does not like it. I do not like that one bit. Are you doing that strictly because you had a job there and you feel loyalty, or would that
matter? No, I mean, you kidding me? My wife will be in Bengal gear tonight rooting against the Browns. Are you kidding?
You guys touched on the Jaguars being plus 8.5. It opened at 11 against the Titans. In a theme that I saw with this week, is large spreads. There's 6 games currently where there is a 7-point or greater dog, and it's the Panthers plus 9.5 against the Bucks, Jaguars plus 8.5 against the Titans, Chargers plus 8.5 against KC, Texans are plus 7 against the Ravens, Broncos plus 7.5 against the Steelers, and Jets, wherever you get it, I got them right now plus 7 against the Niners. Michael, you had them at 6.5. Are there, and you obviously said you're already taking the Niners, are you willing to roll the dice on any of those dogs this weekend?
I like Denver and Pittsburgh. I didn't think Denver played as bad as they did last week, and I didn't think Pittsburgh played as good. I think it'll be a tough game. I really do. I think it'll be a better game. But I was scared to take it because Denver, A.J. Bowie's hurt, so I was worried about that. You know, I would lean towards taking Kansas City. I don't think the Chargers are very good, so I lean there, and I lean towards Baltimore because I'm worried about Houston's defense. But those are leans for me. I don't have conviction yet on those.
Yeah, I have a note here that says, yeah, you're taking bad teams this week, but two of the teams that you will not be taking bad teams against is Kansas City and Baltimore. I'm just not going to touch a game where I'm betting against those two teams.
Smart. Very smart. Actually, I think we could probably break news now. I think my super boost for this weekend is going to be Chiefs minus 8.5.
The Chargers offense that I saw last week was dog shit, and that was against the Bengals defense. That's not great. I have a hard time seeing them putting up points against the Chargers.
How is that not 10? How is that not 10 or more?
Against the Chiefs.
I don't know why that's not. I don't know why the Jet game isn't 10 or more. The Niners lost, that's why.
Chiefs are 17-3 against the spread against their division in the last 20 as well.
Yeah. They always go out there and kick ass. They play good. And plus, Andy Reid off a bye week? Are you kidding me?
True. Forget this 10 days.
I'm talking to myself, and I should have made that pick. God damn it.
Yeah,
I'm like the fat guy at the buffet line. I should have ate that. Damn it.
Oh. Hey, Michael, I mean, our official picks will come out tomorrow for the weekend. So
all right,
you still have
good
time.
I'll recalibrate.
Yeah, just recalibrate. Don't forget also, you are left in our Survivor plus one, minus one pick. So make sure you have one of those picks tomorrow, too.
Oh, I was preparing for that. Trust me, I was nervous as hell about that all day. I didn't want to be the first. I didn't want to be first man out. So I was nervous about that.
All right. Okay. Enough. All right.
Thanks, guys.
You're the best.
See you, Michael. Have
Thanks,
a great Mike. Night.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
I mean, every time I feel really good about something, he just comes in and shits all over it. And by the way, I was going to dance on his grave about the Titans covering against the Broncos, too. And I was so excited. And then Gostkowski leaves 10 points on the board. Well, I mean, I just don't know how that even happens.
He's not undefeated, Pat. He's not undefeated. It's not like because he picked the Browns doesn't mean it's guaranteed to win.
Yeah, you're right. But he's generally he's right.
By the way,
that's normally what happens with him.
Two super boosts tonight for that game. FanDuel Super Boost over 47 goes from plus 120 to plus 170. And then there's also a super boost on Chubb to be the first touchdown scorer. I can't remember what it is.
630?
I think it's 580 to 670, somewhere like that. Which, if the Browns want to win, you fucking feed Nick Chubb. I'm actually probably going to play that one. For sure.
It has to be the Browns, right? Like, the Bengals aren't in a must-win, and Baker and the Browns are almost in a must-win, even though it's only week two.
See, but I don't like...
Browns were like that all last year, though, and they couldn't do
jack. I don't like that
shit.
He came in
new
here.
Coach, new GM. That's why I'm saying for Baker, not for, like the Browns as an organization.
He
came in here
and he jumped on the Browns bandwagon.
I've been on the Browns since the morning. I got it at 6, so I got it before it went up.
Okay, yeah. So there's another one, too. Same game parlay. Joe Burrow, 239-plus passing yards. Bengals to cover, plus 6.5, and 40. 44 plus points scored. Max bet $50 plus
seems
735.
Like you like that.
That is all of my bets. This is an expensive show, by the way. Like, I'll hear somebody talk, boom, and I just start hammering things.
By the way, we had Pat had Darius Butler on the Pat McAfee show today, and Darius Butler breaks down a lot of film, does not like the Browns secondary, likes the Joe Burrow over, I believe it's 238.5 tonight, yeah. As a prop bet as well, correct?
Yeah, he loves it. Doesn't just like it. He absolutely loves it.
Also going to slam that because that's a good combo, right? You bet on the QB on one team to do well, and you bet on the other to win. You feel like you got to hit at least one of them.
You're beating the system.
Yeah, exactly.
You're beating the system.
Hedging without hedging.
Before we get out of here, I would be a bad host if I didn't ask you Celtics Heat tonight. I believe the Celtics are -2.5. Is that correct?
I believe so. It started at 3.5 this morning. I'm just taking a money line just because – I don't feel good about – well, I bet on the Celtics every game, so no matter what, I had to do it. But usually I'm a spread guy. I'm taking a money line because it's going to be a close game.
Yeah, money line's the only play if you're taking the Celtics here. They just can't go down 2-0 here.
Pat, what are you thinking?
You know, I think Jimmy Butler's coffee shop is potentially a weapon down there. There's no reason the Miami Heat are in the position they're in. They're a plus 3,300 to be where they're at right now or to win that you got them early. I like the Boston Celtics. I like their team. Yeah. I think Tatum is an interesting guy for sure. Mm. I like Marcus Smart. I like Brad Stevens. But I think there's just something in that big face coffee, really whatever the hell that Jimmy Butler said. Jimmy Butler didn't even let his family come down to the bubble. So get the hell out of here. It's a business trip. Not only coffee, but also basketball. So I like the Boston Celtics money line -144.
Hell yeah. All right, we'll be back tomorrow. Same time, same place. Tomorrow we will have all the picks for the weekend.
Bingo.
We will also have the survivor for those who are left.
Yes.
And then we'll cover some of the games that we didn't talk about today, the games that are not over 7, not the blowout games. We'll get into some of the tighter seeming games tomorrow. We can't thank you enough for joining us every Monday, Thursday, Friday around 3:05 p.m. Tell your friends. We'll see you tomorrow.
Hey, see you guys. This has been fun.
Hammer Don.
Hammer
Don.